Good evening and welcome to the Southern California Connection Prayer Line, sponsored by the Central Filipino Seventh-day Adventist Women's Ministry Department. Seventh-day Adventist Church, excuse me, Women's Ministry Department. Gwen Shorter is the director. Joanne Williams is the prayer leader. Gloria Duckett and Marcia Harold are moderators, and my name is Marcia Harold, and I will be your moderator for this evening. Our speaker will be Elder Folks, who has had a very interesting history before he came into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. His introduction was by a lady who is presently his wife. So for those that have missed the story, maybe again Elder Folks will give us his testimony somewhere down the line. But it was a wonderful and beautiful story, and we all enjoyed it that had a chance to hear it. Millie, if you could do our opening prayer for us this evening for Elder Folks and for Baby Faith, for Prodigal List, for our Revival and Reformation, our Friends List, and I believe that's all the special. If I'm leaving anybody out, somebody let me know. But other than that, Millie, go ahead.
I'll be glad to do that, Marcia. Thank you. Good evening, saints. Let us all bow our heads, ourselves to the Lord. Safely through another week, thou hast brought us on our way. Let us now a blessing seek, waiting in his courts today. Our loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this preparation day, and for some, the Sabbath day. We are so happy to enter your gates with thanksgiving for the things you have done for us throughout the week. We thank you for our church without walls. We pray for everyone under the sound of my voice that you will lift them up this evening, that we will hear things that will enlighten our hearts, our minds, and our souls. We also pray for the Prodigals List, the Fans List, and we lift them up as well. With Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27, where you will give them a new heart, that you will take the stony heart out and let them follow in your statutes. We pray, Father, for them every day, and we ask that you will bring them back to the fold. We also pray for a reformation and revival in our hearts and in our lives, as well as in our churches. And we ask, Lord, that you will help us to pray 777 in this regard. 7 days a week, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., as we're doing now. We are so pleased to have Brother Folks back on the line with us this evening, our presenter, your manservant. He has been challenged with the Baby Faith situation, the circumstances of her birth. However, we're so pleased and praising you for what you have already done, giving her that abundant life and allowing her to hopefully go home very soon. We thank you for blessing Eva, his wife, as well as his little daughter, Grace. And we're so glad that you have allowed him to edify us again with the words of the Word of God. We thank you and praise you and lift you up, adore you, and magnify your name. So now we ask that you will hide Brother Folks behind the cross of Calvary. Let us hear only the words that you will have him speak from on high. And we pray that he will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think or ask. In your name we pray these blessings. Let all who hear say amen together.
Amen.
Thank you for praying for us, Millie, this evening. Elder Folks, the time is yours.
Thank you. Happy Sabbath, everyone, or happy upcoming Sabbath, depending where you are. I just wanted to first share a very quick update with you, and thank you again for your prayers, because my little daughter Faith is doing very well. She's in the NICU right now. For those of you who are not aware of what's going on, she was born actually 1 pound 14 ounces, and that might weigh less than your Bible weighs, actually, if you think about it. And right now she's doing much better. She's up to 2 pounds 8 ounces, so 2.5 pounds exactly. And we're just thankful that everything is going well. She no longer has, she's not taking oxygen or any respiration. She is taking a large amount of milk now, and so we're just thankful to the Lord that she is doing very well. All the nurses, every time we come,
we can't hear you real well. Can you talk louder?
Oh, I'm sorry. Sure. Thank you. Can everyone hear me?
Thank you. I want to hear all you had to say, but couldn't hear it all.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. If anyone can't hear me during any time of the presentation, please let me know. All the nurses, they every time I stop by, we always ask, first thing, you know, out of our mouths is, how is she doing? And they say, oh, she's just a wonderful little baby. She's growing and doing so good. So we're just so thankful that we know the Lord is taking care of her. And
Amen.
We're so thankful for your prayers. And we just see the power of prayer really being fulfilled. Because, I mean, she's so, I don't know how to describe it, but, you know, she's so small. 15 inches, which is maybe the length of, maybe from, if you're from maybe an elbow to maybe your pinky finger or something like that. Maybe even shorter.
3 inches longer than a ruler.
Yes. Yes, a ruler being 12 inches. So you're exactly right that, you know, she's so small. But, you know, it's amazing how she's so fully formed already, how God is so good. And so I just thank you again for your prayers. And with that in mind, let us study the Word of God together today. A very simple message today. But sometimes repetition is a blessing to us. And so I encourage you to turn your Bible to the book of Philippians chapter 2 as we read our theme verse. And I'd like someone to read the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, our theme verse. And remember, please, to star 6 if you'd like to speak.
Philippians 2:5, you said?
Yes, yes.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Thank you. So there, you know, is one of the greatest callings in the Bible when it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, to have the mind of Christ, we've studied before that it is possible, that it can really happen. And what is merely a theory to many, the Bible shows us it will become a reality. And we ask the question, you know, in our day and age, when wickedness is seemingly abounding, when lawlessness is abounding in this world today, we ask, could we really have a pure mind, a mind just like Jesus? You know, a pure mind would lead to pure actions in everything we do, amen? And when 2 weeks ago, we studied a little bit about the church in Laodicea, and we knew that the word Laodicea means a people judged. And so it's our church during our time, right before the coming of Christ. Revelation 3 talks about our church, the church of Laodicea. And when I say the word Laodicea, and if you try to do a word association with that, when someone says Laodicea to you, what do you think of? I think the first word that comes to my mind is lukewarm. Right? And lukewarm not being a good thing, right? We know that Jesus said in Revelation 3 that God is lukewarm. He even says naked and poor, wretched and blind. And all these things are very bad things, right? But friends, there is one good thing about Laodicea, God's final church. In fact, I encourage you to turn up in your Bibles to the book of Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, and the Bible tells us that something will happen to the church of Laodicea in the book of Revelation chapter 19. And I'd like someone to read the book of Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 to 8.
Revelation 19, 6 to 8. Is that right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him. for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints.
Right there, it talks about the marriage of the Lamb. We know the Lamb, of course, being Jesus. And the Bible, speaking of this woman, is that same woman that we found in Revelation 12. That woman keeps the commandments of God and has the testimony of Jesus Christ. And we know the testimony of Jesus Christ being the spirit of prophecy. And the Bible, as we know, or we may or may not be familiar with that, you know, a woman represents a church in the Bible, based on Ephesians chapter 5, Jeremiah 6:2 says, I have likened the daughter of Zion to a lovely and delicate woman. And so here talking about God's last day church, you know, when we got the counsel from Jesus in Revelation 3 that we are naked and poor, wretched and blind, here Revelation 19 tells us that eventually God's church becomes clothed. She's clothed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And so what does it mean to be clothed? Well, I want to give you a definition directly from the book Christ Object Lessons, page 311. And it says, when we submit ourselves to Christ, the heart is united with his heart. The will is merged in his will. The mind becomes one with his mind. The thoughts are brought into captivity to him. We live his life. This is what it means to be clothed with the garment of his righteousness, speaking of Christ's righteousness. And so when you combine Revelation 19, what we just read, speaking of God's church clothed, and you combine the definition of Christ's Object Lessons, page 311, which tells us that when we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ, our mind becomes one with Jesus' mind. When you combine those things together, in essence, the book of Revelation chapter 19 and the spirit of prophecy is telling us that in the last days, God's people will have the mind of Christ. And you know, that's exciting, brothers and sisters, because even if we ourselves came to this prayer line today and we feel lukewarm, perhaps looking back on the failures and sins of our past week or past month, we feel naked and poor, miserable, wretched, and blind. But the good news is that the book of Revelation chapter 19 tells us that Jesus can bring us genuine revival and reformation in our time. And so Revelation 19 tells us that in the last days, revival will come to God's church. And based off of the Bible and the Bible alone, that God's even though God's church has many problems, even right now, the Bible tells us in Revelation 19 that God's church does not apostatize. It does not become Babylon, but Revelation 19 tells us that instead God's church becomes clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And what does it mean to be clothed? Well, I encourage you to go back to Revelation chapter 3. As we see, as we go a little bit deeper, and we covered this verse last week, but I want to share it one more time. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, and Jesus himself says, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, he says, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And so he who overcomes sin shall be clothed in white garments. So if you combine that verse with Revelation 19, which says God's church is going to be clothed, amen, it tells us that when God's church is clothed, they overcome sin. And so that's a very beautiful thing, because the final demonstration of what the gospel can do in and for humanity is still in the future. Christ showed the way. He took a human body, and in that body demonstrated the power of God. And men are to follow Jesus' example and prove that what God did in Christ, he can do in every human being who submits to him. The world is waiting this demonstration. Now, Jesus Christ will be revealed to the world in our generation through the lives of his people in the last days. Then and only then will Jesus come to claim us as his own. And friends, I believe that this will happen in our lifetime. Jesus said in Revelation 22:12, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according to his works. So Jesus is coming very soon, friends. And that's good news, because a revival, a genuine revival, the final revival, is to happen in the near future. And the good news is, even though that revival is to happen in the near future, we can experience purity of character and heart through Jesus today. But you know, friends, the Bible also tells us that when God's people begin to become purified through the righteousness of Christ, when they become more and more like Jesus, the Bible tells us that Satan will change his strategy against God's people, especially in the United States of America and throughout the whole world. Because the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 12, tells us that, yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And so we know that very soon a persecution of God's people is coming. When God's people become more and more like Jesus, and when Satan sees that he is losing his hold on the world because God's final message is reaching every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, Satan will change his strategy. And instead of just trying to make us lukewarm, he's actually going to be persecuting God's people. For the Bible tells us that no one may buy or sell unless they receive the mark of the beast. And we know in the last days there's going to be only two classes of people. The first class will worship the beast in his image, and the second class will follow the Lamb wherever he goes. But do you know, friends, that the spirit of prophecy actually tells us that, unfortunately, many Adventists are going to buckle under the pressure, and they're actually going to be shaken out of the church. And you know, friends, we know that Jesus doesn't want anyone to be shaken out of the church. He doesn't want anyone to be lost. But the spirit of prophecy does warn us that many Adventists are going to turn away from the truth. And we must ask the question, why? What is it that results in many people being ashamed of Christ in the time of trouble? For if we know what is it that shakes God's people out, then we can know what to avoid, what we need to do. Does that make sense? And so with that in mind, let us understand from the Bible what will bring about a shaking, or what can we avoid from being shaken out. Let's go to the book of Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, as we discover what is going to make Adventists buckle under the pressure. Why? Mark chapter 13, we're going to combine a few verses together, so you need to just hold on as we first look at our first verse. Mark chapter 13, I'd like someone to read verses 7 to 9.
Okay, I'll read it. Mark 13, verses 7 to 9. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end is not yet, shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrow. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to the council, and in the synagogue ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations.
Thank you. And so right there it says that in the last days, God's people are going to be brought before kings and rulers for the sake of the gospel. It says for a testimony to them. And, you know, this is actually going to be a good thing, friends, because it says for a testimony. Also, it says that when we're arrested, that you need not worry about being arrested, because in verse 11 it says, but when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And so we need not be afraid of, you know, defending ourselves, or because here Jesus is saying that the Holy Spirit is going to give us the right words. And the book Great Controversy tells us on page 607 that those who are arraigned before the courts make a strong vindication of the truth, and some who hear them are led to take their stand to keep all the commandments of God. Thus light will be brought before thousands who otherwise would know nothing of these truths. And so when we are brought before courts and kings and rulers, Spirit of Prophecy tells us, and the Bible here tells us, that it will be beneficial to the gospel. Again, Great Controversy, page 612, tells us that notwithstanding the agencies combined against the truth, a large number take their stand upon the Lord's side. And so, friends, we won't need to worry about what to say, but we do need to prepare. Because the Bible says we're going to be brought before kings and rulers, as the verse said. But unfortunately, some of God's people are going to be ashamed. And we're still trying to find out why. Why would we be ashamed of Jesus in the last days? Well, I encourage you to go with me in your Bibles to the book of Psalm chapter 119, as we learn that we're going to be brought before kings and rulers. Psalm chapter 119, and I'd like someone to read verse 46 first. Psalm 119, verse 46.
I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed.
And so that's what we want to do. We want to speak before kings and rulers and not be ashamed. Amen?
Amen.
And the question is, what would make us ashamed? That's what we're trying to discover, right? And I encourage you, you know, I'm getting a little bit of feedback. I'm sorry. Is anyone else hearing that? Okay, good. All right, thank you. Now I want to show you the key verse, which is in Psalm 119, the same chapter, in verse 80, as we learn what will make us unashamed in the last days. I like my dear sister who just read to read Psalm 119, verse 80.
Verse 80, okay. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed.
So there it says, let my heart be sound or be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. So here's the thing, friends. Those who are ashamed of Christ in the last days, they are not walking blamelessly regarding God's statutes. But those who walk blamelessly, they will be able to stand in the last days for God. In fact, the book Great Controversy, page 608, tells us that as the storm approaches, a large class who have professed faith in the third angel's message but have not been sanctified through obedience to the truth abandon their position and join the ranks of the opposition. By uniting with the world and partaking of its spirit, they have come to view matters in nearly the same light, and when the test is brought, they are prepared to choose the easily popular side. She then says, men of talent and pleasing address, who once rejoiced in the truth, employ their powers to deceive and mislead souls. Now that's sobering, friends, because what she's saying there is, based on these verses also that we read, is that many people who profess the third angel's message, many people who know which day is the Sabbath, she says a large class will turn away because they have not been sanctified by the truth in the last days, and that's why they're not able to stand. That's why the psalmist says, let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. You know, in the last days, we are going to have to testify before kings and rulers, and I encourage you to go with me to the Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 12, very quickly. Matthew chapter 12, and we know that Jesus said, Matthew chapter 12, verse 37, Jesus told us that, he said, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And also, in three verses before that, in Matthew 12, 34, Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if we want to testify for Jesus and not be ashamed in the last days, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, or out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, which means Jesus said we must have pure words, or in order to have pure words, we must have a pure heart in order to testify before these kings and courts. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And so I want to see Jesus face to face. Amen. Don't you, friends?
Amen.
And so if our hearts are pure, then we have nothing to fear during the last days. But the problem is, you know, the Bible tells us that our hearts are desperately wicked. Amen. And again, the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 23 tells us, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Proverbs 4, 23. How? Really? I mean, that's a question, right? How can we keep our heart with all diligence? What is needful in the last days? What are the exactly necessary things that we need to know? What are the necessary things that we need to do on our part to draw closer to Jesus? Well, I encourage you to go with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, as we discover one thing that is absolutely needful. In fact, friends, if you don't have this in the last days, you're not going to be able to stand. And so the book of Luke chapter 10, Jesus shows us one thing which is very needful. And so I'd like someone to read Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. What is needful?
Verses 38 to 42. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.
Amen. Thank you, my sister. So right there, Jesus says, one thing is needful, and that one thing that is needful is to sit at the feet of Jesus and to listen to him to us day by day. Amen. And, you know, often we want to do good. We want to be very busy and do good things as Martha did. And brothers and sisters, you know, it's good that we're doing evangelism. It's good that we're sharing the gospel. But you know that often we make the mistake of trying to share the gospel without first being at the feet of Jesus in devotions in the morning. And you know, Jesus Christ said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And so if we want to be sanctified and ready to stand, we need to have the word of God in our hearts. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Here Jesus is saying that the word of God has sanctifying power. Again, John 6:63 tells us also that it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. That Jesus said, these words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And so in order to have life in the last days, we need to be studying the word of God. But you know what, friends? Many of us say, all right, brother, I got that one. I already have a solid devotional. And that's true. You know, I'm sure all of us wake up, and I'm sure we all at least have some type of Bible study in the morning, right? But today I believe that Jesus is asking us to go deeper. In fact, I want to read to you from the book Desire of Ages, page 83, when she says, it would be well for us to spend a thoughtful hour each day in contemplation of the life of Christ. We should take it point by point and let the imagination grasp each scene, especially the closing ones. As we thus dwell upon his great sacrifice for us, our confidence in him will be more constant. Our love will be quickened, and we shall be more deeply imbued with his spirit. And so, one of the points that I want to bring out from that quote is that she says, it would be well for us to spend a thoughtful hour each day in contemplation of the life of Christ. And we have to ask ourselves, are we getting that thoughtful hour? Or is it a thoughtful 15 minutes or 20 minutes? You know, often even I've experienced it myself, friends. You know, I'm not perfect either, that often you might wake up late and then you need to go to work, and you have, you know, 15 minutes for your devotional, and you open up the Bible and you try to read the chapter real quick, and then you just run out the door, and you just struggle throughout the day trying to be like Jesus. And perhaps it's because we've been too much of a Martha and too little of a Mary, friends, where we need to just sit and listen to the words of Jesus. Are we getting that thoughtful hour? And we must ask, if not, what is preventing us from getting that thoughtful hour with Jesus? One more life important point, friends. We know we need to be in the Word of God in order to stand in the last days. Jesus said it is needful. But there is one other thing that is absolutely necessary. These are things that are, I'm sharing with you today, things that are basic but absolutely necessary if we're going to be able to stand. And I encourage you to turn up your Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54, as we learn how we can become righteous like Christ. Where does our righteousness come from? I'd like to read the book of Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17.
Says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord.
Thank you. So right there, the Bible tells us that we're not going to obtain our righteousness from ourselves, but rather the Bible says that their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. You know, one thing that is additionally needful on top of a diligent study of the Word of God is that the book of James actually tells us that you have not because you ask not. We know that righteousness comes from God, so why not ask? You know, only Jesus can give you purity of heart. And, you know, we know the verse. We know these verses already, amen? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, which says, pray without ceasing. We know pray without ceasing, right? We know that our righteousness comes from Christ. We know that we need to pray. But, you know, friends, when that the Bible verse says for, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing, the reality is that some of us have ceased to pray. I'm not talking about simple prayer when we pray over a meal, you know, a simple 20-second prayer, you know, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this food. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm talking about we have ceased perhaps to pray genuine prayers. You know, I want to show you a genuine prayer from the Bible. And we don't have time to read all of it, but we must study some of it to see what genuine prayer is. Please go with me in your Bibles to the book of Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, as we read a genuine prayer. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and then Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. And I'd like someone to read just Daniel chapter 9, verses 3 to 8.
Daniel 9, 3 to 8?
Yes.
Okay. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespasses that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee.
Thank you. And would you also read verse 19 of that same chapter?
19 in that same chapter?
Yes.
Okay. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God. For the city, thy city and thy people are called by thy name.
Prince, this does sound like a genuine prayer to you. Can you hear his emotion? He says, O Lord, hear.
Yes.
O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God. For your city and your people are called by your name. You know, that is a genuine prayer right there, friends. And the Lord put Daniel's prayer into the Bible to be read from age to age as an example of a genuine prayer, truly pleading for purity of soul, truly pleading to God for forgiveness of sins. Lord, please forgive us, he says, over and over. And you see just the deepness of his prayer here, friends. You know, one interesting thing that I've learned is that if you consider the book of Daniel, it's actually built, many parts of the book of Daniel are a result of Daniel's prayer life. Have you ever considered that? That in Daniel chapter 2, when Nebuchadnezzar has that dream, that Daniel and his friends, they need to pray earnestly in order to receive the interpretation of the dream. You know, in Daniel chapter 6, when Daniel goes to the lion's den, Satan is trying to discourage Daniel. He's trying to make Daniel fall. And it's interesting that Satan makes a law through his agents, his human agents, that no one may pray for 30 days except to a human king. You know, Satan well knew that the power of prayer and the sanctifying influence it had. But, you know, Daniel continued to pray, and he was able to even live through the lion's den. And again, we just read here in Daniel chapter 9 that here Daniel is petitioning the Lord. And in Daniel chapter 9, verse 20, it says, Now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin, and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And if you read what Gabriel says in Daniel 9:22, he says, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill and understanding. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out. And so Gabriel comes to give Daniel the interpretation, or he gives him the 70-week prophecy, which gives us insight into the 2,300-day prophecy. And, you know, Gabriel came because Daniel prayed. And, you know, here's the thing, friends. If Daniel didn't pray, we would not have the book of Daniel. Have you ever considered that? Because the book of Daniel would have ended in Daniel chapter 2, because Nebuchadnezzar would have wiped out all the wise men of Babylon, and Daniel wouldn't have had the interpretation of the dream. And so we see the power of prayer, genuine prayer. And, you know, we can learn many things from Daniel's prayer in Daniel chapter 9. One, he says, Lord, forgive us. You know, the Bible tells us that Daniel was perfect, actually, when in the lion's den. It says that Daniel was found without fault before God, yet he still said, Lord, forgive us of our sins. Daniel considered himself as one of the really sinful of Israel. He had true humility in his prayers, and he prayed not just for himself, but for others. Also, there's many other things, friends, but we're running out of time. But here's a challenge to you, friends, is we know that Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Isn't that right? And perhaps you've heard of the Daniel Challenge before. Another gentleman brought up the Daniel Challenge, which is actually a health reform challenge. But I want to bring another challenge to you today. And that challenge, friends, is that we pray like Daniel prayed in these last days. And that we pray, that we set apart 3 times during the day to pray. Genuine prayers, as Daniel did. And if we pray 3 times a day, let us see how God will radically change our lives. And we might say, you know, I just don't have time to pray 3 times a day genuine prayers, because genuine prayers take time, amen? But, you know, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Our first priority should be communion with God. And so, friends, I challenge you today. We know that we need to study. We know that we need to pray. But Friends, let us take it to the next level. Let us spend that genuine hour contemplating the life of Christ. Let us pray earnestly, as Daniel did, 3 times a day. You know, you have that prayer 7-7-7. We're already praying, hopefully, 7 a.m., 7 p.m. Let's put something right in the middle at lunchtime as well, amen? And, you know, friends, often when we look at prayer, we look at it as something sometimes that can be difficult to spend time in each day. And, you know, when we wake up early in the morning to study the Word of God, we should wake up not merely because it is a habit or because it is tradition. Or we should not study the Bible in the morning because it is only necessary in order to be like Jesus. But we want to wake up early because we want to hear the voice of God speaking to our hearts. You know, when we wake up early, before even the sun rises, to pray, we should wake up early not as a task. We should not look at early morning prayer as a chore, but we should look at it as a great privilege. Amen? You know, the political season is coming up about a year from now, and they're going to have these presidential elections. And, you know, during these presidential elections, some people will pay upwards of maybe even $30,000 to have a lunch or a dinner with a presidential candidate or the president, Barack Obama. And, you know, they're not paying that $30,000 for the food, right? They're paying that $30,000 to spend the night with the president, and perhaps maybe they can just spend even just 10 minutes speaking to the president, and they're willing to sacrifice so much in order for the privilege to meet the president of the United States. You know, friends, what a great privilege to come before the King of the universe anytime we desire. You know, angels, they cover themselves. They cover their form with their wings when they enter the presence of God, because they're entering the presence of a holy God. How much more reverently should we, erring mortals, come humbly to the throne of grace? Friends, we need to plead forgiveness for the times when we have treated God's sanctuary as something common, when we have come to prayer meeting desiring to be somewhere else. Lord, please forgive us for the times when we have, even in church, thought about the things of Egypt when you're trying to lead us to that heavenly promised land. You know, friends, in these last days, we need to have a deeper communion with Jesus. And as we start the second half of 2011, that is my appeal to you today. That is the Lord's appeal to us together. You know, the reality is, as we studied earlier, that if we are not seriously devoted to Jesus in the last days, we will not be able to stand through the time of trouble. But let us never forget, friends, that Jesus is seriously devoted to us. The hours he spent agonizing in prayer in that Garden of Gethsemane were for your salvation and mine. The days and nights of fasting in the wilderness and the great temptations that Jesus faced were to redeem us as his own. When Jesus said at the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, the answer to that question, friends, is that our sins have separated Jesus from the Father. And today, when Jesus is asking us to have a deeper devotional experience each day, but he's not asking us to do anything that he has not already done for us. He had a great devotional life as well. When you look at the life of Christ. And think about it, friends, what a privilege to see Jesus face to face when he comes again. You know, I want to share one last quote with you, and it's from the book Early Writings, page 51. Speaking of seeing Jesus face to face, Ellen White says in Early Writings, page 51, she says, I then beheld the beauty and loveliness of Jesus. His robe was whiter than the whitest white. No language can describe his glory and exalted loveliness. All who keep the commandments of God will enter in through the gates into the city and have right to the tree of life and ever be in the presence of the lovely Jesus, whose countenance shines brighter than the sun as noonday. Isn't that a beautiful quote, friends? to see Jesus face to face, day and night. Oh, friends, that's what we want more than anything of this world. Amen.
Amen.
So tonight, I encourage you to look at your devotional life. See, Lord, what is my purpose for waking up in the morning? Do I consider it a privilege to seek you earnestly in prayer? Oh, Lord, please forgive us of this, our sins of the past. Please, Lord, bring about a true revival and reformation in our hearts so that we may be able to stand. Isn't that your prayer today, friends? If so, I encourage you to bow your heads with me as we close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we need to have a deeper experience. Lord, forgive us for running out the door and leaving you behind, Lord, in the morning. Lord, forgive us for the times when we have rushed through our devotionals, Lord. Forgive us for the times, oh Father, when we have entered your presence in prayer unreverently. Lord, what a privilege to come before the King of the universe in prayer any time we desire. Oh, Lord, what a great privilege. Please, Father, help us to grow more and more like Jesus. Lord, we want to be able to stand in these last days. And Lord, we know that it's only through a deep communion to you. Lord, we want to have a deeper relationship. Please, Lord, speak to our hearts as we study your word each day. Lord, forgive us for the times when we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Lord, please, may we make a decision today to pray as Daniel did, 3 times a day, earnestly, Lord. And Father, we know that if we ask and pray earnestly, Lord, you will bring about the latter rain. You will bring about a great revival in our lives. Lord, we thank you that you will clothe your church in your righteousness. We thank you for the great sacrifice of your Son, Jesus. Please, Lord, help us to never lose sight of that which is needful, communion with you at your feet. We thank you, Lord, for your great love and mercy for us. And we pray all these things in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Elder Folks, for that message. I mean, sincerely heartfelt message this evening, you know. My heart was truly touched. And I, listening, you end up in a place and you don't know how you end up in a place. And some of the things that you spoke on this evening, it was so much a part of my life. And as far as my devotional life, and as you were speaking tonight, I'm trying to figure out how did it get away from me? How did I get out of the habit? You know, I still have my morning devotion. I do that before anything else, but there were some other things that you mentioned. And I just want to thank you so much, you know. It was truly a message from the Lord. We're going to open up for Q&A session. And for anyone that would like to make a comment or ask a question, please *6 your line. One that would like to, okay.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist calling in tonight, and I'm going to send the line just a few more minutes because I'm going to go to bed. And I've enjoyed from what I've heard thus far. And my question is, when we are judged by God, does God judge us on our thoughts or just our actions? Hello,
Elder Folks. I don't know how he got.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Somehow
I'm sorry.
You were
I got
muted.
I'm sorry about that. Yes, the question was: does God just judge our thoughts or our actions, or does God just judge our actions or our thoughts as well? Is that the question? Is that correct? Yes, that's a very good question, and I encourage you to turn with me your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12.
Okay.
And Ecclesiastes, last chapter in Ecclesiastes, and the last two verses. So let's see where.
Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter.
And so in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse, yes, would you, if you'd like to read those two last verses, you can.
Okay, let me get my Bible. Let me see what I did with it. Because we have revival at church, and I was just at church tonight. So let me just get the Bible, and I'll read those two verses. Give me one second. Excuse me for a second. Ecclesiastes is after Psalms, right?
Yes, you go Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. And you know, I want to share one other verse after this one as well, because I'm not sure if this is going to answer everything.
Okay. Ecclesiastes, I have it. Ecclesiastes, yes.
12, and the last two verses right there.
Ecclesiastes 12. Okay. Let us end further. By these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every secret work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil.
And so, right there, the Bible tells us that God will bring every work into judgment, but it also says including every secret thing, whether good or evil. And so even the secrets of our thoughts and actions, but so it's going to be our actions and our thoughts as well. For in fact, Jesus said also in Matthew 5, you have heard that it was said long ago, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And so that's talking about the thoughts right there in Matthew 5 as well, right? So we need to have a pure thoughts and pure actions as well. And the good news is even if our thoughts are impure, Jesus Christ can transform our minds. He can give us the mind of Christ. But we must earnestly seek him in prayer. And when an evil thought comes to our mind, the Spirit of prophecy actually tells us that we are responsible to God for our thoughts. And so we have the choice. In fact, Colossians 3 also tells us, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above and set your minds on things above. So we need to set our minds on things above, not of the things of this world. And when we struggle with our thoughts, then we should be instant in prayer, and the Lord will provide relief if we earnestly seek him in prayer, that he can cleanse our thoughts, and our clean thoughts will result in pure actions.
Okay, because sometimes I have demonic thoughts. That's what I was wondering. And I'm going through a lot of stress right now. I have a lot of stress on me, all sorts of stress. And sometimes I have thoughts that I shouldn't have, and I become very concerned about it. And I pray against it and ask God to take them away and to forgive me of those thoughts, because I don't want to be, you know, lost. I want to be saved. But I have a lot of stress. That's another reason I was calling in for prayer, because I have stresses on me right now that's causing me to have, like, mentally, it's affecting me mentally and emotionally. So
yes,
I was calling
well,
in for prayer also tonight.
Yes, we need to pray. But also she says that we're responsible. So we need to reject those thoughts and ask the Lord, please bring my mind back. And I think we've all had a point in our lives where even I experience it sometimes where I'm walking and suddenly a thought comes into my mind and I think, Lord, where did that, that's an evil thought, where did that thought come from?
Right.
And, you know, the book Steps to Christ also tells us that if we do not pray, that she says Satan whispers. And so sometimes the thoughts, those evil thoughts come from our own wicked heart, but sometimes it's Satan. And so we need to know the Lord's voice, and we also need to know when it's not the Lord's voice. Amen.
Okay. Okay. You're not taking any prayer requests right now, right?
Yes, we will take prayer right now, unless someone else has any questions. But, my sister, we will definitely pray for you. Does anyone else have any?
Because I have a bad living situation. I'm living with family. They used to be Seventh-day Adventists. And I am the only Seventh-day Adventist with my children. And I'm having, like, a lot of spiritual battles, and I need to move. And I'm asking God to help me find an affordable apartment so I can come out of this situation. That's what's causing me to have the stress.
My sister, would you care to share your name with us so we can pray for you as well?
Oh, my name is Lisa.
Lisa. Okay, great. Thank you, Lisa. We will definitely pray for you right now, actually, unless anyone else has any additional questions or comments.
No, elder folks, there is no one else in the queue. In fact, I will turn it off. But if I can make one suggestion, something that I do when thoughts come in, I ask the Lord for Bible texts, and I ask for specific ones, and I quote them. I just start quoting them until, you know, I'm at peace. And one of the ones that I quote is Philippians 2:5. So that might be a suggestion. I think you wanted to have prayer, elder folks, at this time.
Yes, we can. I'm not sure if would someone else like to pray first, or I know we're a little over the time today. But.
You're going to close out, so we can start our united prayer right now.
Okay.
And
okay.
Okay. If someone would like to start out with a united prayer, and elder folks is going to close. For anyone that feels a desire to pray, just start 6-year line and go right ahead. I'll start out. I see two lines are unmuted. Did you want to just go right ahead and pray? Okay. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the message that you sent to us this evening. We thank you for your love and grace and mercy. And we ask, Father, that you will cleanse us and purify our hearts and minds. We claim the promise in Ezekiel 36:25-28, that you will wash us, Father, and cleanse us, and take away the stony heart and give us a heart of flesh and make us your people and you become our God. Father, let us seek you early in the morning. Let us always keep you on our minds throughout the day. And Father, right now we lift up in a special way Lisa. She's in a battle. We're all in a battle. But she's not in a situation that's pleasant for her, where she can worship thee in peace. Lord, you know the reason for this. We ask that you will grant her the desires of her heart, that you will give her a place to be able to worship in a time of peace and quiet, and to draw near to you, to prepare for the times that are about to come up on us. And Father, I ask that for Lisa as well as for all of us on this call, that you will help us to draw closer to thee, that we will be prepared for the time that will come upon us as a people. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy. We thank you for the privilege to be able to worship thee in a time of peace. And we thank you for granting the answer of peace for our sister Lisa on this call. We ask it in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Is there anyone that else that wants to pray? If not, all the folks close. Could you close out?
Yes, yes. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your abundant mercy with us, Lord. Father, you know the struggles in our minds, and Lord, the battles each day that we face, that Lord, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. But Lord, we thank you that you are stronger than all the assaults of those demons, Lord. Lord, I just especially pray for my dear sister here, Lisa. And Lord, I pray for each and every one of us, Lord, because all of us are under attack. Lord, we want to have the mind of Christ. Lord, we want to be just like you. Lord, many times we fall short. Father, please help us to stand. Help us draw closer to you. Please, Lord, help us to reject all wicked thoughts. Lord, help us to have pure minds and pure hearts. Please, Lord, grant us the victory. May you keep us in perfect peace as our minds are stayed on you, because we trust in you, Lord. Please, Lord, give us peace of mind, peace of heart, even though there will be trials in the world. Lord, I pray for my dear sister, especially that you help her with her home situation, Lord, that you help her to be a light for her family, for the people that live in her household. Lord, may you help us to be true, genuine representatives of you, Lord. Please, Lord, give us that strength that your son had on this planet. Please, Lord, help us to be more and more like Jesus. And, Lord, may we not neglect communion with you. Please, Lord, even if we come and even if we forget, Lord, even if we become slowly drawn away from our devotional life, please, Lord, bring to our remembrance the words from your word today. Please, Lord, help us to remember that we need to spend time with you more and more. Please, Lord, help us to pray earnestly each day to be transformed. We thank you, Lord, that we can have confidence that you will answer our prayers. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of prayer and the privilege of hearing your voice through your word. We thank you for your love for us and for blessing my dear sister Lisa and all of us on the prayer line tonight. We ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Good night. God bless.
I'd like to thank you once again, Elder Folks, for that wonderful message. It was just such a blessing. And for anyone that would like to hear this message again, 712-432-1085, PIN code 624255#. I believe on Sunday, our speaker, last Sunday it was AJ, so it's going to be Dr. Weeks, I believe. So I look forward to seeing everybody then, but until then, have a wonderful and blessed Sabbath. Have a good and peaceful evening, and thank you for taking time out of your evening to fellowship with each other in the presence of the Lord on the prayer line. Good night, everyone, and may God bless you.
Night. God bless you too, Marcia.
Thank you, Joanne. I mean, Joyce.
That's okay. Have a good Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath to you too.
Thank you.